This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thank you so much for listening. 50 years ago this summer, there was a push put on in the state of Mississippi by college students from all over the country who were recruited to go to that state and try to change the racial component of who could vote and who could not vote.
We hope to send into Mississippi this summer upwards of 1,000 students from all around the country who will engage in Freedom School voter registration activities and open up Mississippi to the country.
That is a clip from a documentary about that summer, which was called Freedom Summer, and it'll air Tuesday night on PBS. It was written, produced, and directed by my next guest, Stanley Nelson. Stanley, welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
This is a searing film about a searing summer in American history. Before we get to what happened in the summer of 64, tell my listeners a little bit about the efforts that were made by some African Americans in Mississippi before they recruited all of these white Northerners to come help them.
Mm-hmm. Well, the local people in Mississippi had been struggling for their rights for, 100 years since the Civil War. But in about 1961, Bob Moses, who worked for a group called the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, and a handful of other workers went down to Mississippi to try to register people to vote and gain some other rights. And for 3 years, from 61 to 64, they maybe had 25 people down there who were fanned out all over Mississippi who tried to get people to register to vote, tried to get people to vote, but were really not very successful.
How dangerous was it for an African-American who tried to register during those years?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that has been lost to time that we don't know. But it was very, very, very dangerous in so many ways. I mean, if you went to try to register to vote, you then had to take a written test where you had what they call interpret the Constitution. And as someone says in the film, you never could pass. PhDs couldn't pass. You had to be white. So you could go down, you could try to register, but you wouldn't be able to register to vote. But then the repercussions would start just for trying to register to vote. So, when you went, you might not even get in the courtroom. You might be beaten before you got in the courtroom. You might be arrested before you got in the courthouse to try to register to vote. If you did try to register, you were refused, but then your name would appear in the paper that you had tried to register. And then, you might be kicked off your land. So if you were a sharecropper, you were living on somebody else's land, and you would be kicked off your land, kicked out of your house. If you had a small loan, let's say you had a small business, you were a mechanic or a beautician, you might have a small loan with the bank. The bank would call in your loan. So the repercussions were immense. It wasn't just that you couldn't register to vote. It was that there were physical assaults and also economic assaults that you would confront, even just for trying to register.
Why was registering to vote so important?
Well, in Mississippi was a special case, because Mississippi was about, at that point, 50% black. And there was a feeling by the white population, or much of the white population in Mississippi, that if you give African Americans the right to vote, that then what they always called our way of life will change. That then you'll vote in, black elected officials or a black sheriff, or at least officials and sheriffs that would have to take into account the concerns of African Americans. If African Americans can't vote, then you don't have to take into account their concerns at all. So you have a population in Mississippi which is about 50% black, and of the eligible voters, it was less than 7% who were actually registered to vote.
Wow.
And it also should be said that in some counties in Mississippi, African Americans were 70-80% of the population.
So fear was a big factor on both sides here. The whites were afraid that they were going to lose power and were afraid of black people in general. And the black people were afraid to go and try to exercise their constitutional rights because they were going to be stopped violently or economically.
That's true. And one of the startling points that we make in the film, we tell the story of a family, a white family, who just... invited some white people who were involved in Freedom Summer over to their house for tea. You know, come on over and let's talk and let's figure out how we could not have so much violence in our town. And these people were ostracized and actually had to move out of their town and eventually move out of Mississippi just for inviting someone over to, you know, to have tea or coffee. So it wasn't only that everybody was afraid, but you, even if you bent, you know, a millimeter, even if the white population bent a millimeter, there were repercussions.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because when I watched your film, I was stunned at that story, as I was with so many of the other stories that you shared in here. Did the kids?
One of the startling things again about that story is the white family that this happened to. They were native Mississippians, and their 18-year-old daughter at that time was the reigning Miss Mississippi in the Miss America pageant.
Right. We mentioned that hundreds and hundreds of college kids from the north went down there to try to register some kids, and of course it was a very famous incident in which three of them disappeared. One black, two white kids disappeared. That was used as the basis for a Gene Hackman movie called Mississippi Burning, and you highlighted considerably in your movie, Freedom Summer. Did these kids who were going down there have any idea of the risk they were undertaking?
Well, you know, the vast majority of the kids were white, and the vast majority of the kids were from the north. And no, they didn't have any understanding at first of what they were undertaking. I mean, one of the things that it's hard to imagine, you know, now in the age of instant news is that, you know, what was happening in Mississippi and what Mississippi was like did not kind of filter out into the general public. So, you know, the lynchings, the beatings, you know, the murders that happened in Mississippi weren't even reported in the north. So, you know, nobody had any idea, really, of what was going on in Mississippi, and nobody was looking. So one thing that the organizers of Freedom Summer did was they held an orientation at a college in Oxford, Ohio, you know, for a week to try to let the young people going down there to give them an idea of what Mississippi was like, and also to give them instructions on how to protect themselves as best they could and be protected in Mississippi.
Who is Fannie Lou Hamer?
Fannie Lou Hamer is one of the real heroines of the civil rights movement who's not, you know, widely known. Fannie Lou Hamer was a sharecropper in Mississippi, you know, which means, you know, she was living in the cotton fields, basically, you know, living on white people's land and a sharecropper. And she went to register to vote and was refused. And when she got back to her house on the land, the boss said, well, you know, you got to leave. So she was kicked off her land, fired from her job, and she becomes a field worker for SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, and becomes one of the leading lights of the civil rights movement because she is a sharecropper. She's not a volunteer from the north. She's not an activist from the north. She's an activist from Mississippi. She's someone, as Bob Moses says in the film, she had Mississippi in her bones. So she was also a woman, a black woman. So she can talk to the people in Mississippi in a very different way because she has now risked it all.
In fact, she was registered to vote.
So she can tell people, you know, look, I've risked it all. It's important that you risk something.
In fact, she was so good at speaking about what was going on down there that she scared President Lyndon Johnson, who, I don't want to give it away. I want people to watch your show on Tuesday night, but I will tell you that a couple of months ago I was in New York and I went to see Bryan Cranston in his show about LBJ called All the Way, and that part of the story is featured in there because, of course, that show is about LBJ trying to pass the Voting Rights Act, which did happen the next year. But that is a fascinating story, the Fannie Lou Hamer part. I did not know her story in full until seeing it in your movie, so I'm really glad you highlighted her, and I hope that some history books will begin to note how important this woman was.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fascinating story, and her speech at the Democratic National Convention was on television, and it's in the film, and it's just an incredibly powerful speech. But also, you know, Lyndon Johnson, unbeknownst to probably everybody, you know, listening, recorded his phone calls in the White House. So we use these phone calls. So you hear in Lyndon Johnson's, you know, voice, in his own words, him kind of manipulating behind the scenes and pulling strings. And we always hear what a kind of the ultimate politician, you know, Lyndon Johnson was. But I think when you hear him manipulating,
you really get to see it. The movie's called Freedom Summer. Let me get the plug in again for you. Tuesday night on PBS, the director Stanley Nelson. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thank you so much.
America Weekend.